Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on this Tuesday. Come to you live from our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, at Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227. We'll do all this Warrior stuff here, a little bit of a soap opera spin for those guys. But Le'Veon Bell didn't show up.
He did not show up, BT, so his season is officially over, as Jay Berman was telling us in the update. And this is, I mean, this means a lot of things. One, he is very convicted to getting what he's worth, even though he's missing out on $14 million that he will never make up again. He's not going to get paid whole in that. But it creates this interesting new tool for agents to play with. And it's hard for running backs. I'm conflicted in some regards. I'm happy for him because I feel like he did what he wanted to do, wanted to make a point. But I also realize, and just like you realize, and just like anybody who's ever watched football realizes, it's a next man up sport. Mm-hmm. Meaning, all right, you're not available for whatever reason, because you're hurt or you're holding out, there's going to be someone else. And James Conner kind of, you know, splashed cold water on Le'Veon Bell's plans to, you know, light a fire under them because they kind of don't need him. He's obsolete. It's interesting because Booger last night talked about this on Monday Night Football, how Le'Veon realized that the Steelers were just going to use him. Right? It was going to be a one-year deal, $14 million. They were going to use him up if they made it to the Super Bowl or did whatever. Mm-hmm. Great, but we're not taking care of you long-term. That's our right. His right is to sit out. The question will be, will this become a trend? Will players who have been franchised once and are likely to get franchised a second time now pull the Le'Veon Bell method and say, all right, I'm not signing. I'm not showing up. I'm willing to sit out a year to become a free agent because I know you're not going to tag me for the third time, because that's what they've determined, the loophole in the CBA, that once you've tagged the second time, whether or not you sign it or not, it still counts as a tag. So if they tag you again the year you come back, it's a third time, which greatly increases your salary. It's the top five, the average of the top five salaries total in the National Football League, which is really the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, I understand his trepidation, but you know that plan to me was a lot more feasible in August or September.
I agree.
What I don't understand is, you know, even if you're consumed with your usage rate, which I understand, come back now. I mean, 10 weeks in the rearview mirror, there's only so many times they can shove it down your throat now, especially since Connor's played well.
You're right. Become an asset because you're lessening the role of Connor a little bit. And you can divide and conquer in a way.
Yeah.
Even though we don't know if that really would affect
his earning power.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I mean,
at this point, it's kind of, you know, how many miles are on the odometer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who else is on the open market? Needs, what teams that have those needs have the free agency money, that kind of cap space to go and pursue them? But, you know, I don't know. It seems sloppy. It seems hasty. I'm very surprised.
It seems without plan.
I would have showed up today, get that $6 million, go chase a chip.
Yep.
Go play a little football. You know, I'm going to leave max with 100 touches or 150 touches, half of what I was worried about getting, still be in very good physical condition, and still be very appealing to teams out there in free agency.
Yeah, I think it's clear. It's clear now that he will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Oh, unless, there's no way.
Unless something happens to James Conner. But even then, I'm sure he won't be.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much he increased his value. You know, the market's not gonna go up without his deal. And so no deal happened. So you're kind of sitting in the same spot that you are.
Can you make the case that he lost money based on Connor's production?
Without a doubt.
I think you can.
Without a doubt. Because it just shows the expendable nature, the replaceable nature of running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids who are coming up who are so – I mean, all the kids in college now are like this. They're all versatile. They all catch the ball. I mean, it used to be back in the day – if you threw the running back of the football, you know, 20 times, 15 times in a season, mm-hmm. it was a lot.
Yeah.
I finished the Giants as the all-time leading receiver. Armani broke that the next year, but I never caught more than 15 or 20 balls in college in a year. It just wasn't what you did. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, that's all these kids do. And so it's an interesting decision by Le'Veon Bell. It's one that's going to hurt him more than it's going to hurt the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we'll just have to wait and see what team decides to negotiate with him next year when he's an unrestricted free agent. It will be a lot of teams, BT, because the cap is going to go up again. Mm-hmm. It's been up $10 million each of the last three or four years. It's going to go up $10 million again, I'm sure, because of the new stadium deals and all this other new revenue that's coming into the league. So he's going to get offers. It's just a matter of what that offer is going to look like.
Surprising business strategy here for sure. We'll see how this plays out.
Very.
Okay, a little surprising what happened last night with the Warriors as well. If you didn't see it, there was a sequence near the end of the game. They mounted a comeback. They were playing the Clippers. Draymond Green dribbled into traffic, kind of his head was down, and he dribbled right into the teeth of the defense, lost the ball. As they were walking back to the bench during a timeout, they were chirping a bit. It hit full crescendo. Klay Thompson was in the middle. You had a good look at it here on the TV. This was, here's Draymond coming up over midcourt, and he just goes right into the teeth. He may have been trying to pass. I don't know what his plan was, but it was ill-conceived. And as they go to the huddle, you know, they're not really thrilled with what went down, but it took a twist when it went into the locker room, which is what is interesting. And we got this report from Woj here, and you can see that they were definitely – Thompson didn't say anything. He's pretty mild-mannered, but we've seen Durant and Draymond do this before, and they're tight. Mm-hmm. They're boys, and I know that Draymond has been influential early in winding Kevin Durant up and getting him to – be Kevin Durant early during his days with the Warriors.
No, of course.
Rather than blend in, be you.
Well, he was part of the reason he went there.
Correct.
Right? He was one of the part of the contingent that went out and met him and convinced him to come be a part of this team that they were building to be so special. And so you know they have a good relationship. And sometimes good relationships are healthy when you have disagreements. Mm-hmm. Right? But this one seemed like it should have been squashed on court.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
It happened immediately. KD's clapping for the ball, give me the rock. Draymond turns it over. They have a conversation, but then they got to play overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So you would, and ultimately, maybe it's because they lost the game. That's why it became to the Clippers, no less. Maybe that's why it became more heated. But you got another period to play, mm-hmm. right? This should be gone.
Another 5 minutes. Let's click back in.
It might explain why they lost.
It might. It also doesn't help when you don't have Steph.
True.
Because if they have Steph, they're not going
to
overtime.
A good point.
An angry late-game exchange between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green carried into the Warriors' locker room on a Monday night where some teammates, so it's not just Kevin Durant. So this is where it seems it's almost like Green versus mm-hmm. maybe not the entire team, but a majority of the team, where some teammates loudly confronted Green for his decision-making on the final play of regulation. Some witnesses described the closed-door exchange as one of the most intense of this Warriors era. And by the way, keep in mind, there was a situation where Draymond Green and Steve Kerr had to be separated, I want to say, during Steve Kerr's first season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there hasn't
been... Yeah, it was a while ago, but
what it says that this is the most explosive. Have been other bouts of volatility. That's why I bring that back. Not many, because they're great, mm-hmm. and it seems like they're pretty harmonious.
Winning cures everything.
Exactly. Nobody had to be separated. Nobody left his seat. No hint of physicality loomed. Durant's impending free agency heightens the sensitivity of the turmoil. Mm. And it says, just to wrap it up, the organization's taking this seriously of the confrontation, spending Tuesday working through the issues that may have been created or even advanced within the team's dynamic, league sources said.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, one thing they say about a marriage is when you stop
caring,
not fighting, yeah,
communicating,
but, yeah, sure, for certainly
whether
communicating.
Whether it's softly through love and affection, or angrily,
yep, it shows that you care.
Yeah,
I mean it does, provided it doesn't come from a reckless place.
Agreed.
It shows that you care, that you're invested, that you're engaged, mm-hmm. and you want to, once you sort through the emotions, you want to repair it.
Yeah,
not make it worse, and maybe ultimately this is what it's going to become. But I do believe that it's a reminder that, you know, there is a finite window on what these Warriors are, and not just based on the ages of the players. You know, eventually power and greed and responsibility and who's most responsible for success, the most selfless people can get petty.
Oh, of course they can. Especially when legacies are being created.
Look at that.
I know.
Look at that.
In New York.
Look at KD.
Yeah, this is what BT is hoping will happen, that there will be...
Believe.
This is what BT believes will happen.
I've said this for a while now.
They're going to win another championship, but there'll be dysfunction enough along the way that KD is going to be upset about it and come to the New York Knicks. Sean Livingston, their teammate, doesn't think so much.
Yeah, I like it. What sometimes appears to be dysfunctional to those on the outside is the most basic way of functioning on the inside.
Yeah.
And that works for a lot. That worked for the Yankees back in the day in the 70s.
Yeah.
Reggie and Nettles, they couldn't stand each other. They used to fight, each other in the shower.
I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
That's right. The article. I don't know if it was Esquire or Playboy, but... Yeah, Reggie said that. Thurman Munson took real offense to it. Nettles was a Munson guy and vice versa. You had all these fractions and cracks in the foundation. Yeah, you know what? You go out and you ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a little different in basketball because, you know, baseball, whether it's the Yankees of the 70s or the Mets of the 80s or another team that or the A's of the 80s and 90s, baseball still, all right, I'm Canseco, I'm pissed at McGuire, I'm still getting in the batter's box, I got my four bats, I don't need McGuire.
Yeah, and have zero interaction with him at all.
But I need Kevin Durant to set this pick.
And I'm the DH. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, you know, I need Draymond Green to set this pick with integrity and do it not half-heartedly, but do it like he really wants to be a brother on the court.
Yeah.
And when that strips down, you know, you could have an issue. I'll stop short of saying that it's obviously going to be fatal, but, you know, there's now these flares that are appearing sporadically over the universe of the Warriors. Just put this in your back pocket because there's probably going to be another one.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens during free agency with the future Nick. I mean the current Warrior, Kevin Durant. Look how good he looks in that uniform.
Oh, man.
He would own that building. Are you kidding me? He's leaving Golden State. So it's just a matter of where is he going to go.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
He's going to leave. All right, Teak, let's get a break. Stay on time. We're going to chat with David Njoku of the Browns, coming off a nice win against the Falcons. New coaching staff. Baker played great. So a little bit of a different vibe without Hugh Jackson, and he's a playmaker, their tight end from the U. We'll chat with him coming up next. Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This week on Tiki's Barbershop is a part two segment of my conversation at Horizon Media. This is a question and answer with some of their employees, and they asked me about my retirement. I've been asked a lot. Here's my answer.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. On a pretty interesting Tuesday, Le'Veon Bell not showing up. We hit that before. A little strife within the Warriors universe, a little internal strife.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
Not enough to be concerned about yet.
I don't know. I think there might be a little more.
If they weren't boys, I'd be concerned. But because they're boys.
Here's why I'm concerned, though. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up.
But just because they're boys, I feel like it's something that will be glossed over. They'll go get a drink or whatever. I don't know what they drink these days, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm,
they'll go get a beverage. Hang out for a minute and hug it out, bro it out, and it'll be all good.
I would agree with that, except that there's other guys involved now. And that's why the wording of the article that Woj posted on ESPN.com about, I don't know, 40 minutes or so ago, when it spilled into the locker room, and, you know, I'm being very literal, picking out the words, but I think it's an important piece of the puzzle, that it wasn't just Durant and Green, it was multiple teammates.
Other guys.
Who are growing disenchanted with Draymond Green,
so maybe,
who might not be boys with Draymond Green to go have that drink.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Like Durant might be.
Maybe,
Durant.
Maybe Draymond's the one who ends up being on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, though, I think that would be a mistake, unless it just happens where it's. You have to divorce him.
Yeah, or he really wants to go somewhere else.
Or he wants to go somewhere
and
else.
Be the guy.
I think that his value is glossed over. I still do. There's just not many guys like Draymond Green in the modern NBA that are scrappy, that are unpredictable, that are live wires, that are tough, that are, you know, that bring a lunch pail every day, even though he's got $40 million in the bank.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't around much.
No, you're right. You're right. They're the non-star character guys that you need in every sport. Uh-huh. Whether it's the fullback who makes the key block or a third down catch, or whether it's the reserve center fielder who comes in and pinch runs and steals the third and, you know, ends up winning a game. It's those guys who often go unsung mm-hmm. to become important. But Draymond's a little bit of a hybrid of that, because he's kind of created this stardom about himself because of who he is,
mm-hmm.
that he's unique in that regard.
He is. Yeah. He's one of a kind. Who else really does what he does? Jimmy Butler is probably a more polished, well, not probably, he's definitely more polished and more talented. But maybe he's like the Uber Draymond Green, kind of a physical presence, two-way guy.
You're right.
Better shooter for sure. But there's not many.
No,
you know, to our point.
Yeah, he's in a unique situation.
And before, because I know you want to throw something else out there. Yeah. I mean, if you take it, I don't think Clay's leaving the Warriors. Mm-mm. I do think Durant's going to leave eventually. I think if Steph ever left, it would be and I don't know that he will.
I don't think Steph would.
But I could see him going back to Charlotte for a year or two at the end of his career. Maybe if he decides to do something like that. But if you took Curry right now and put him on a bad team, or Clay, or Durant, that team's going to have a pretty sizable uptick in wins.
Yes.
If you put Draymond Green on a bad team, there's not going to be much of an improvement losses.
No, it's going to change the locker room. It's going to change the character. It's going to change the attitude of some of those guys.
Stuff you can't necessarily quantify, but you need.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just not a big stat guy.
Yeah. A team that needed the change of attitude was the Cleveland Browns. And you saw this, BT, just like I did yesterday. It was not long before Hugh Jackson found another job.
Yeah.
He's already hired.
Yep.
I mean, I looked this up because I was curious. Because I know we talk about how his record is just horrendously bad. There is, in the history of the NFL, one other coach, and it's not modern era.
It's from like the 30s or the 40s. I remember looking this up
myself. So in the modern era of the National Football League, statistically speaking, mm-hmm. Hugh Jackson is the worst head coach in NFL history.
21%, something like
20.5% win percentage, including his three wins in 39 games with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
However, less than 2 weeks after he's shown the door, he's got another job, assistant to the head coach with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, there's precedent here. Hugh Jackson was hired as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. We've talked about this many times on our show. He got fired a little bit unfairly there. Came back. This was in 2012. Came back to the Cincinnati Bengals after being a wide receiver coach there earlier, and was a running back coach, and then ultimately ascended to offensive coordinator. And this is when he developed his QB guru. Nomaker is when he became that guy, because mm-hmm. he helped turn Andy Dalton into had a career year. He had 106 point something rating and led the team to the postseason, and Andy Dalton was playing outside of what we thought Andy Dalton could be, and a lot of it was because of Hugh Jackson,
uh-huh.
which it was his reinvigoration. It was his reputation is back. And that's how he gets the head coaching job with the Cleveland Browns. The question is, does it happen again?
I wouldn't hire Hugh Jackson.
I don't think so either. But his reputation reinvent itself being whatever role he's going to be? They don't need him as the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati right now. Mm-hmm. In fact, their offense is playing great. It's their defense that's been porous.
Yeah, 51 to the Saints.
Yeah, which is
among the worst in the NFL.
Horrendous. Yep. I mean, they've been bad defensively all season long.
That's 31st
right. in points per game, and it's probably going to fall to 32nd this week
mm-hmm.
After giving up 51, as BT just mentioned, to the Saints. But is it a good move for the Bengals? Is it a move for the Bengals?
It can't be a bad move. Now, he's got some intel on the Browns, and they're still playing the Browns twice.
Right.
And the Bengals have 5 wins, and I don't think you or I really view them as a viable playoff mm-hmm. team, because their defense is terrible. But I understand the move. It's a safe landing. There's familiarity. Yeah. And I believe he'll be an asset.
Yeah.
You know, he knows.
I think so, too.
Yeah, he knows Baker. He's an offensive guy, but he knows Baker Mayfield's biggest weakness because he tried to coach around it early. So you, maybe you sit in the defensive meeting and you say, hey, listen, this is what Baker really doesn't. He just doesn't process well.
Which,
let's
by the way, Marvin Lewis is going to take over because he's going to do the defensive play calls.
So he'll be comfortable if Hugh sits in with him, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And they're best friends. I mean, it's the power of the relationship. They have a good relationship. And not only with does he have a good relationship with Marvin Lewis, he has a good relationship with Mike Brown, who owns the team.
Yep.
So there's a familiarity. It's almost like home, even though he's been home at different places as head coaches and whatnot, otherwhere. Cincinnati's kind of where Hugh always lands. And that's probably a good thing for Hugh. He's lucky in that regard because not every coach has that.
Many don't. Actually, I say the overwhelming majority don't. I think Hugh Jackson should go and coach college.
I think he'd be really good there. I think we said that before.
We said that about Herm Edwards years ago, and I never thought it would happen. I just thought Herm maybe expired as a coach.
Yeah, I think remember going into last season when we didn't know whether or not John Dorsey really was going to hold on to Hugh.
We just fire
him. Yeah. Because he said he was going to. We're like, all right, what's he going to do?
Come on. He was kind of forced on him.
Yeah, great.
The problem with Hugh, why I would never hire him if I'm an NFL team right now. As a head coach. Is, you know, I don't like the slippery stuff that came to the surface. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
The insecurities.
The insecurities, the battle for power, the whole back and forth with Haley and... You know, now, I wanted to draft Deshaun Watson. I wanted to get Patty Mel. The ultimate revisionist, please. Yeah. I would never hire Hugh Jackson to coach my football team in the NFL. Never. Yeah. And quite frankly, at this point, even though I believe that there's real merit as an offensive mind and as a play caller and as a quarterback, not a whisperer, but a quarterback developer, I don't trust him enough anymore. Even that ridiculous media tour going on Fox, going on First Take, like he's Vince Lombardi. Please, there's just too much ego there. I would not trust him enough to not submarine my head coach to hire him as an offensive coordinator.
Unless it's his best friend, which they are, in Marvin Lewis.
The Bengals would be the one exception. Yeah. If they thought that was a good marriage and Marvin says, let's do it, then that's different because they are boys.
I agree with you. That media tour was odd to me.
That turned me off.
Because he didn't need to get the story straight. Nobody cared,
Hugh. You're 11-40. Right. By the way, the guy's name, Burt Bell had a 179 winning percentage from 1936 to 1941.
Years? How many games does this say?
He coached 58 games, 10-46-2.
Wow.
Sure he lost a few tight ones at the gun. give Burt Bell the benefit of the doubt. A couple of bad calls late. Then you have Hugh. Then you have Steve Spagnuolo, number three. Ooh, that didn't go well with the Rams.
No.
Gus Bradley with the Jaguars. There's a lot of David Shula in the 90s with the Bengals when the Bengals were a disaster.
Why does Burt Bell sound familiar?
Well, there's Burt. I mean, there's Buddy Bell, baseball. There's Art Russ.
Was there like is there like I feel like there's something. I don't know. Burt Bell sounds familiar to me. I don't know why.
Burt Bell?
I have no idea.
I don't know where you're going with that. I wish I could help you. Burt Bell. I mean, it just sounds kind of like two one-syllable names.
No, I feel like there's something like one of our plans, our annuity plans or something like that. Is there, you've seen
there's
anything?
The Burt Bell Award, which I believe was presented to the NFL Player of the Year.
Definitely not for the best NFL head coach. That's for sure. Burt Bell Award, first coach fired. you might want to.
For the year.
Hugh Jackson would win that.
Hugh Jackson won the Burt Bell Award.
Wow.
I don't know why Burt Bell sounds familiar to me.
I think that's just in your head, buddy.
Maybe.
It might be. We got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up. Let's get the update, see what's going on with Jay Berman. He's got all the Le'Veon Bell stuff. Here's Jay coming at you. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206. Time for the Player of the Week. Inbounds, Out of Bounds after that. And the Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Take a look at somebody who's getting it done. Slowly rising, maybe to the best player in the game status. I think eventually he gets there. Anthony Davis, the Pelicans, they've won three straight. Thanks in large part to AD, who's pumping in 28 points, 16 rebounds, and 6 assists. So last night in Toronto, he went 25-20 as the Pels handed the Raptors their second loss of the season. Big win. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. We got a little intel on the great Burt Bell.
Burt Bell By the way, he was the NFL commissioner. I mean, I did in my back of my mind, but I couldn't. It didn't come forward until I looked it up. The Burt Bell / Pete Rozelle NFL player retirement plan provides eligible NFL players with disability benefits, pensions, and survivor benefits for their families. So that's why I know it, because I've obviously been getting these Burt Bell noted or whatever, this mail from them since I retired from the game of football. But also, he's very influential and maybe heavily responsible for some of the successes in the National Football League, including the antitrust exemption that the NFL enjoys. You always hear about this when mm-hmm. issues come before Congress. It's like, we're going to take away your antitrust exemption. He was one of the peak guys that fought for this for the National Football League.
You study law? Did he study law at Penn?
At Penn, yeah.
I know he went to Penn. Did he study law at Penn?
I don't know if he did or not.
Gotcha.
But he also implemented the Pro Bowl for the
Well, now I got a problem with it. Pro Bowl stinks.
Exactly, it does. But interestingly, he's known for quoting this.
What?
On any given Sunday, any team in the NFL can beat any other team.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm just telling you.
They didn't attribute the quote to him in the movie. I didn't hear Pacino say, hey, my buddy Burt Bell back in the day.
Yep. It says, it says there's a competitive balance that's Burt hailed Bell. By contemporary hit by the contemporaries and sports historians.
Yeah, respect.
He often said, on any given Sunday, any NFL team can beat any other team.
That's awesome.
Burt right. Bell.
Burt Bell. We certainly didn't mean to overlook you, pal.
Terrible coach.
Terrible coach.
Literally the worst coaching record in the history of the National Football
what
League.
What irony. But, everything else, though, was pretty,
he's
pretty
fantastic
important.
Fantastic man, it seems like.
Good stuff. Digging that up. All right, man. You ready for Inbounds Out of Bounds?
Yep, let's get
CBS
it.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. On a pretty interesting Tuesday, Le'Veon Bell not showing up. We hit that before. A little strife within the Warriors universe, a little internal strife.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
Not enough to be concerned about yet.
I don't know. I think there might be a little more.
If they weren't boys, I'd be concerned. But because they're boys.
Here's why I'm concerned, though. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up.
But just because they're boys, I feel like it's something that will be glossed over. They'll go get a drink or whatever. I don't know what they drink these days, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm,
they'll go get a beverage, hang out for a minute, and hug it out, bro it out, and it'll be all good.
I would agree with that, except that there's other guys involved now. And that's why the wording of the article that Woj posted on ESPN.com about, I don't know, 40 minutes or so ago, when it's spilled into the locker room, and, you know, I'm being very literal picking out the words, but I think it's an important piece of the puzzle, that it wasn't just Durant and Green. It was multiple teammates.
Other guys.
Who are growing disenchanted with Draymond Green, who might not be boys with Draymond Green to go have that drink.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Like Durant might be.
Maybe,
Durant.
Maybe Draymond's the one who ends up being on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible. I mean, you know, I tell you what, though, I think that would be a mistake, unless it just happens where it's you have to divorce him.
Yeah, or he really wants to go somewhere else.
Or he wants to go somewhere else.
Be the guy.
I think that his value is glossed over. I still do. There's just not many guys like Draymond Green in the modern NBA that are scrappy, that are unpredictable, that are live wires, that are tough, that are, you know, that bring a lunch pail every day, even though he's got $40 million in the bank.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't around much.
No, you're right. You're right. They're the non-star character guys that you need in every sport. Uh-huh. Whether it's the fullback who makes the key block or a third down catch, or whether it's the reserve center fielder who comes in and pinch runs and steals the third and, you know, ends up winning a game. It's those guys who often go unsung mm-hmm. that become important. But Draymond's a little bit of a hybrid of that, because he's kind of created this stardom about himself because of who he is,
mm-hmm.
that he's unique in that regard.
He is.
Yeah.
He's one of a kind. And I mean, who else really does what he does? Jimmy Butler is probably a more polished, well, not probably, he's definitely more polished and more talented. But maybe he's like the Uber Draymond Green, kind of a physical presence, two-way guy.
You're right.
Better shooter, for sure. But there's not many.
No,
you know,
not.
To our point.
Yeah, he's in a unique situation.
And before, because I know you want to throw something else out there. I mean, if you take it, I don't think Clay's leaving the Warriors.
Mm-mm.
I do think Durant's going to leave eventually. I think if Steph ever left, it would be May, and I don't know that he will.
I don't think Steph would.
But I could see him going back to Charlotte for a year or two at the end of his career.
Maybe
if he decides to do something like that. But if you took Curry right now and put him on a bad team, or Clay, or Durant, that team's going to have a pretty sizable uptick in wins.
Yes.
If you put Draymond Green on a bad team, there's not going to be much of an improvement in wins and losses.
No, it's going to change the locker room. It's going to change the character. It's going to change the attitude of some of those guys.
Stuff you can't necessarily quantify, but you need.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just not a big stat guy.
Yeah. A guy, a team that needed the change of attitude was the Cleveland Browns. And you saw this, BT, just like I did yesterday. It was not long before Hugh Jackson found another job. Yeah. He's already hired.
Yep.
I mean, I looked this up because I was curious. Because I know we talk about how his record is just horrendously bad. There is, in the history of the NFL,
one person,
one other coach, and it's not modern era.
It's from like the 30s or the 40s. I remember looking this up
myself. So in the modern era of the National Football League, statistically speaking, Hugh Jackson is the worst head coach in NFL history.
21%, something like
20.5% win percentage, including his three wins in 36 game, or 39 games with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
However, less than 2 weeks after he's shown the door, he's got another job, assistant to the head coach with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, there's precedent here. Hugh Jackson was hired as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. We've talked about this many times on our show. He got fired a little bit unfairly there. Came back. This was in 2012. Came back to the Cincinnati Bengals after being a wide receiver coach there earlier, and was a running back coach, and then ultimately ascended to offensive coordinator. And this is when he developed his QB guru moniker. It's when he became that guy, because he helped turn Andy Dalton into had a career year. He had 106 point something rating, and led the team to the postseason. And Andy Dalton was playing outside of what we thought Andy Dalton could be, and a lot of it was because of Hugh Jackson, which it was like his reinvigoration. It was his reputation is back. And there, that's how he gets the head coaching job with the Cleveland Browns. The question is, does it happen again?
I wouldn't hire Hugh Jackson.
I don't think so either. But does his reputation reinvent itself being whatever role he's going to be? They don't need him as the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati right now. Mm-hmm. In fact, their offense is playing great. It's their defense that's been porous.
Yeah, 51 to the Saints.
Yeah, which is
among the worst in the NFL.
Horrendous. I mean, they've been bad defensively all season long.
That's right.
31st in points per game, and it's probably gonna fall to 32nd this week.
Mm-hmm.
After giving up 51, as BT just mentioned, to the Saints. But it's a good move for the Bengals? Is it a move for the Bengals?
It's a bad move. It can't be a bad move. Now, he's got some intel on the Browns, and they're still playing the Browns twice.
Right.
And the Bengals have 5 wins, and I don't think you or I really view them as a viable playoff team because their defense is terrible. But I understand the move. It's a safe landing. There's familiarity. Yeah. And I believe he'll be an asset.
Yeah.
He knows.
I think so, too.
Yeah, he knows Baker. He's an offensive guy, but he knows Baker Mayfield's biggest weakness because he tried to coach around it early. So maybe you sit in the defensive meeting and you say, listen, this is what Baker really doesn't. He just doesn't process well.
Marvin Lewis is going to take over because he's going to do the defensive play call.
So he'll be comfortable if Hugh sits in with him, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And they're best friends. I mean, it's the power of the relationship. They have a good relationship. And not only does he have a good relationship with Marvin Lewis, he has a good relationship with Mike Brown, who owns the team.
Yep.
So there's a familiarity. It's almost like home, even though he's been home at different places as head coaches and whatnot, otherwhere. Cincinnati's kind of where Hugh always lands. And that's probably a good thing for Hugh. He's lucky in that regard because not every coach has that.
Many don't. Actually, I say the overwhelming majority don't. I think Hugh Jackson should go and coach college.
I think he'd be really good in college. I think we said that before.
We said it about Herm Edwards years ago, and I never thought it would happen. I just thought Herm maybe expired as a coach.
Yeah, I think remember going into last season when we didn't know whether or not John Dorsey really was going to hold on to Hugh
or
fire him. Yeah. Because he said he was going to. What's he going to do?
He was kind of forced on him.
Yeah, great.
The problem with Hugh, why I would never hire him if I'm an NFL team right now.
As a head coach.
Is, I don't like the slippery stuff that came to the surface. Mm-hmm. Like,
The insecurities.
The insecurities, the battle for power, the whole back and forth with Haley and... I wanted to draft Deshaun Watson. I wanted to get Patty Mills. The ultimate revisionist, please. Yeah. I would never hire Hugh Jackson to coach my football team in the NFL. Never. Yeah. And quite frankly, at this point, even though I believe that there's real merit as an offensive mind and as a play caller and as a quarterback, not a whisperer, but, yeah. but a quarterback developer, I don't trust him enough anymore. Even that ridiculous media tour going on Fox, going on First Take, like he's Vince Lombardi. Please. There's just too much ego there. I would not trust him enough to not submarine my head coach to hire him as an offensive coordinator.
Unless it's his best friend, which they are, in Marvin Lewis.
The Bengals would be the one exception. Yeah. If they thought that was a good marriage and Marvin says, let's do it, then that's different because they are boys.
I agree with you. That media tour was odd to
me. That turned me off.
Because he didn't need to get the story straight. Nobody cared.
Nobody cared, Hugh. You're 11 right. and 40. By the way, the guy's name, Burt Bell. Had a 179 winning percentage from 1936 to 1941.
Years? How many games does this
say? He coached 58 games, 10-46-2.
Wow.
Sure, he lost a few tight ones at the gun. give Burt Bell the benefit of the doubt. A couple of bad calls late. Then you have Hugh. Then you have Steve Spagnuolo, number three. Ugh, that didn't go well with the Rams.
No.
Gus Bradley with the Jaguars. There's a lot of David Shula in the 90s with the Bengals when the Bengals were a disaster. Mike
Why
Nolan.
Does Burt Bell sound familiar?
Well, there's Burt. I mean, there's Buddy Bell, baseball. There's Russ
Bell. I feel like there's something. I don't know. Burt Bell sounds familiar to me. I don't know why.
Burt Bell?
I have no idea.
I don't know where you're going with that. I wish I could help you. Burt Bell. I mean, it just sounds common. It's two one-syllable names.
I feel like there's something like one of our plans, our annuity plans or something like that. Is there, you've seen
There's
anything?
The Burt Bell Award, which I believe was presented to the NFL Player of the Year.
Definitely not for the best NFL head coach. That's for sure. Burt Bell Award, first coach fired.
Of the year.
Hugh Jackson would win that.
Hugh Jackson won the Burt Bell Award.
Wow.
I don't know why Burt Bell sounds familiar to me.
I think that's just in your head, buddy.
Maybe.
It might be. We got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up. Let's get the update, see what's going on with Jay Berman. He's got all the Le'Veon Bell stuff. Here's Jay coming at you.
All right, gentlemen, this report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, BT alluded to it. Le'Veon Bell has not reported to the Steelers. His season is over. He's ineligible to play the remainder of the season. He becomes an unrestricted free agent this winter. He forfeits, get this, $14.5 million by not playing this year. Again, Le'Veon Bell will not play for the Steelers. Meanwhile, the league will make a decision today about Monday night's Chiefs-Rams game in Mexico City. The field is in such bad shape that the game could be returned to L.A. And as the boys were discussing, Hugh Jackson has officially rejoined the Bengals coaching staff. His title is special assistant to the head coach. Jackson, of course, was the Bengals offensive coordinator before taking the Browns job. 90 minutes from now, we'll find out who the managers of the year are. Cash Cora Melvin in the American League, Black Council Snitker in the National. I'm Jay Berman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.